Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and here we are, October 1st. And we are wonderful. What a glorious day. I knew we would be here. I knew it. October 1st. I knew we'd be here, there, and everywhere on October the 1st. At 8 o'clock, a little later than I like, but here we are nevertheless. And I watched a video this morning Joe Hagman had posted on his Facebook page and about all the events that have kind of happened. Mother Nature's kind of hit Earth on the head a little bit. And, wow, everything is coming to a conclusion, don't you know? And we have to look around and realize that there's certain things that we have to be aware of and things we were commanded to be in tune with, things we were supposed to be aware of. And so because we were supposed to be a special set-apart group of people with an idea and awareness that it's a supernatural awareness, and it isn't one of a performance, and it isn't one of a ceremonial washing, it's a surprise. It's a great surprise when you receive it. And it's like a greeting from the Holy Spirit when it walks upon your heart and you become aware. And once that happens, men can go around you, and if they don't have it, they seem like they just have hidden graves among their hearts because they haven't looked for the right things, looked for what was worthwhile, looked for what was really important, the surprising things. The men of Nineveh too shall rise and condemn this nation, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and someone far greater than Jonah is here. But this nation won't listen. Your eyes light up your inward being. A pure eye lets sunshine into your soul. A lustful eye shuts out the light and plunges you into darkness. So watch out that the sunshine is not blotted out. The light within you. Let the light fill your dark corners and let that be radiant within you. A floodlight is beaming upon you. Hallelujah. That comes out of the Word of God, chapter 11 in the book of Luke, starting in verse 34. And in verse 41, it says, purity is the best demonstrated by generosity. Yes, it is. Woe to you who are exactly like your ancestors who killed the prophets long ago. This is what God says about you. I will send you prophets and apostles, and you will kill them too, and you will chase away the ones that wish to teach you. These are God's servants. They were chosen from the foundation of the world, but you murdered them. From Abel to the murder of Zechariah perished between the altar and the sanctuary. Excuse me. So what are we supposed to do while we're waiting? Because we're a set-apart holy nation, a royal priesthood, a special group of people, a Holy Spirit-inspired people that are set apart with the host of the most holy God inside, so that you would have no excuse in the final days. The Holy Spirit that whispers in the dark and sheds the light and shall be heard. It has whispered into the inner rooms, and it shall be broadcast from the housetops for all to hear. So do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, for all they can do is kill the body. They have no power over your soul. Fear God. He is the only one to fear. For he knows what is the price of a sparrow. God does not forget one. And he knows the numbers of the hairs of your head. And if you publicly honor him in the presence of angels, you will be publicly acknowledged. But if you deny him before angels, he will deny you. And when you're brought before trial in these final days into the synagogues, don't be afraid of what to say. For if you have allowed the light to shine into your heart, and if you possess the Holy Spirit, it will give you the right words to say, even though you're standing there. And it will be said. Someone called from the crowd, "Sir, tell my brother to divide my father's estate with me." But Jesus replied, "Man, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that, beware. Don't always be wishing for what you don't have. For real life and real living are not related to how rich we are. For rich men have barns overflowing." He will give you what you need from day to day. Don't be afraid. It is your God's good pleasure to give you great happiness and to give you the kingdom and to give you everything he needs and to fill all the purses of heaven and rip holes in them and let his treasures fall down upon you, and they will never disappear. For no thief can steal them from you. No moth can destroy them. For these are treasures of the heart and treasures of the thoughts, written on the script of your heart by the Holy Spirit's fingers himself. And he says, and then in that day you will be prepared. You will be ready and dressed and ready for your Lord's return and the wedding feast. You will be dressed in your uniform, in your arraignment, beautifully woven together by the holy acts of the saints, ready to be served by him, the king, at midnight. When he comes, when the great joy and the servants are ready, be ready. Pick yourselves up and be ready. And anyone who is ready, who wants to be a follower, must love me far more than he does his own father, mother, wife, children, brothers, sisters. Yes, then, even more than his own life. Otherwise, he can't be my disciple. No one can be my disciple who does not carry his own cross and follow me. But don't begin this until you have counted the cost. For who would begin to construct a house without beginning to cost the estimate first? And then to make sure they had enough to carry them through. For if your oil runs out and you have no funds to complete even the foundation, then everyone will laugh at you and you will be mocked. And you will stand outside outside of the building knocking. And then you'll run about wishing it had not been finished. Unless you're honest in everything, in the Holy Spirit, you will not be chosen. Because you will not bring with you the finest robe into the house. And he will not put it on you. He is not taking a spotted wife, a jeweled ring for her finger and her shoes, that which the fatted calf will be killed to celebrate with the feast. An account will be given. He knows. He'll have plenty of friends there when he's ready for his feast. And he has invited each one to discuss the situation, to bring the olive oil, to be trustworthy in all worldly wealth. For unless you're honest in all matters, you won't be honest in large matters. And there's now a condemnation waiting for those who don't belong to Jesus Christ. And there's no condemnation waiting for those who do belong to Jesus Christ, for the power of life-giving spirit, the one that he left in you so that you would have no excuse on the final day. And this power is yours through Jesus Christ, who freed you from the vicious cycle of sin and death. We are not saved from sin's grasp by knowing the commandments of God, because we can't and don't keep them. But God put in effect a different plan to save us. He sent his own son in a human body like ours, except that ours were sinful, and he destroyed sin's control over us by giving himself as a sacrifice for our sins, so that we should not be like cringing, fearful slaves, but that we should behave like God's very own children, adopted into the bosom of his family and calling him Father, Father. For it is his Holy Spirit who speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us that we are really his children. We are his children. We are his children. Christ will save you. Let Christ save you. Let Christ find common ground with you, with him and you. Let me tell you about him. I do this to get the gospel to them, and also for the blessing I receive when I see them come to Christ through you. In a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets first prize. So run the race to win. To win the contest, you must deny yourselves many things that would keep you from doing your very best. An athlete goes to all this trouble just to win a blue ribbon or a silver cup, but we do it for a heavenly reward that moth and rust and thief cannot take away. A heavenly purpose. Like an athlete, we run, treating our bodies roughly so we can work diligently, fearfully, awesomely to win the race, to be declared fit, and to be ordered to stand alongside. And we must never forget that God sent a cloud that moved along ahead of them when he brought them out. He brought them out in safety through the waters of the Red Sea, through the baptism of the cloud, both day and night. And he committed to them leaders. And he provided them food. And after all, this Most High God, he even then destroyed them that didn't follow them, that fell and worshiped the golden calf. Those that murmured against God in the last seconds before they got to the promised land. Yes. Let that be an object lesson. So be careful if you're thinking, oh, I would never behave like that. Let this be a warning to you, for if you too may fall into sin, sinfulness, but remember this, wrong desires that come into your life aren't anything new to anyone. Let me tell you, many others have faced exactly the same problems you have. And there is no temptation that's irresistible. You can trust God to keep the temptation from becoming so strong that you can't stand up against it. For he has promised this, and you will do exactly what he says, and he will show you how to establish and escape every temptation power so that you can bear up patiently against it. Yes. There are many ways in which God works in our lives. But it is the same God that does the work in and through all of us. And we are all his. The Holy Spirit displays God's power through each one of us as a means of helping the entire church. To one, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. Someone else may say, be especially good at studying and teaching. And this is good. This is the same Spirit of God, and he gives special faith to others, to pray, to worship. To some, he will give power to heal. To some, he gives powers to know whether or not evil spirits are speaking through some who claim to be giving God's messages. To some, he gives to speak in languages none have ever heard. Some, he's given great powers to understand wise secrets established from the foundations of the earth. These gifts and powers have been decided long ago. And each one of us have our own. And we are the body, and we are the many parts, and we are together, and we all together are the body of Christ. And the Holy Spirit has fitted each one of us together. For if the foot says, I am not a body, part of the body because I'm not the hand, that does not make it part of the body, what would the ear say if it would say, I am not part of the body? Or if your arm said, I am not part of the body? What a strange thing that would be. If only one part had one part. But the body is not one part, it is many parts. And the eye cannot ever see without the hand, and the hand cannot ever work without the head, and the head cannot work without the foot. We are especially glad to have all of our parts, because we would be rarefully weird if we were not put together in all one part. In all the special gifts and powers from God, they will someday come to an end. But the love that we should have forever and ever and ever for each other should stay together. For God has put the body together in such a way and has given it extra honor and care that each are given to those parts that might otherwise seem less important. And this is God's good pleasure, and it is an honor to Him. And this makes for happiness among all of the parts of the body, so that we would take great care for each other. And that if one part of the body suffers, then all of the body should suffer together. Now, here's what I'm trying to say. All of you together are one body of Christ, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. All set apart and all special and all specific in the plan of the destiny of life. And I saw a vision, a strange creature rising out of the sea. It had seven heads. This creature looked like a leopard. It was a dragon and had authority for 3.5 years. One of his heads was wounded, but it came back. And all of mankind, whose names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, would worship this creature. And anyone who could hear listened carefully. The people of God who are destined for prison, they will be arrested and taken away. And those who are destined for death, they will be killed. If anyone imprisons you, he will be imprisoned. And if anyone kills you, he himself will be killed. But don't be dismayed, for here is your opportunity to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you. For endurance. And for confidence. For when that strange animal comes upon the earth, the two horns that speak like a dragon, that speaks unbelievable miracles and makes fire come down upon the earth, deceiving the whole world, making everyone worship the statue that speaks. Be careful. Don't stand in wonder. When the fourth seal was broken, I heard the fourth living being say, come. And now I saw a pale horse. And a rider came, and his name was Death. His name was Satan Death. He had death, and he carried death with him. And everyone followed after him. And another horse whose name was Hell was with him. They were given control over one-fourth of the earth to kill with war and famine and disease and wild animals. And I saw an altar. And underneath it were the souls of those who had been martyred for preaching the word of God and for being faithful for their witnessing. And I watched. White robes were given to each one of them. If they were told to rest just a little while until all of the saints had been martyred as the earthquake starts. And the dark sun came, and the moon was blotted out, and the starry heavens disappeared as the scroll was rolled back and taken away. And every mountain and every island shook, and they all shifted. And all of the kings and all of the world leaders and all of the rich men and all of the high-ranking military officers and all the men, great and small, slave and free, they will hide themselves in the rocks and the mountains. They will cry and plead and hide. They will not be standing out with their arms held high, shouting with a mighty shout, "Salvation comes from our God, from the throne and from the Lamb." They will be crying and weeping and saying, "Oh, woe is us, for the great day of the anger of the Lord has come. How can we survive it?" When the great crowding of all of the angels become a cloud upon the earth, in that great day, you know who these are. They are the ones clothed in white. They're the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They are the ones that have washed their robes and whitened them by the blood of the Lamb. That's who they are. The Lamb stands in front of them. The throne will feed them and will be their shepherd and lead them to springs of water, the water of life, and God will wipe away all of their tears. And the perfume of this incense, the incense of all of the tears and the prayers of all of the saints from all of the very beginning, from the beginning, from the division of the moon and the stars, from the daylight and the night, when the darkness was divided, the seven angels with the seven trumpets prepared to blow their mighty blasts. The locusts prepare, and the locust army prepares. They're the army of Abaddon, Apollyon. They're sent to destroy. Their king is the king of the bottomless pit, whose name is Abaddon in Greek, Apollyon in English. They are the devourers and the destroyers. They will send destruction with flaming sulfur and fire. They have the power of death, who do not have the seal of the mighty God in their forehead. The ones who were sealed by the mighty God. So don't be afraid. Let everyone listen who can listen. Listen to what the Spirit is saying. He who is victorious shall not be hurt by the second death. This message is from he who wields the sharpened double-bladed sword. He is fully aware where Satan's throne is. He has nothing against you. He sends you the hidden man of the secret nourishment from heaven. And he has a white stone waiting for you with a new name written on it. Each and every one of you who are receiving it. This is a message from the Son of God, whose eyes penetrate like the flame of fire, whose feet are like glowing brass, and he is aware of all your good deeds. your kindness to the poor, and your gifts in service to all. Keep your faith. I hope to talk to you tomorrow. God bless you.